Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Support for the Cannon Fire podcast is brought to you by our good friends over at betonline.ag. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. And of course, they've always got the online casino, which never closes. So head over to betonline.ag today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Once again, BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers from the 48-yard line. Second down, 13. Brady lobs one downfield. Caught ball by Gronkowski. Inside the 20 to the 15, 10. Gronkowski to the 5 to the 4-yard line. Holy guacamole.
Third down, 18. Dropping Gannon, looking Gannon, looking Gannon. Those up the middle. It's intercepted at the 30. Derrick Brooks, 30. Brooks to the 25, 20. Derrick Brooks all the way. There it is. The dagger's in. We're going to win the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl, baby!
This is the big nasty. Yeah, big nasty Hall of Fame Tampa Bay Buccaneer fan, baby.
This is Mike Allstott, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you're listening to the Cannon Fire Podcast.
Cannon Fire Podcast, brother. You ain't listening, and you're missing out. Woo!
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to a brand new edition of the Cannon Fire Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Rhett Matthew. Joined alongside me, my good buddy and co-host, the Philly Bucks fan himself, Mr. Evan Wanish. It is time once again for the Midweek Mailbag, episode 211, coming at you live on YouTube today. Evan, my friend, how you doing? Happy hump day.
It is hump day, isn't it? That's a great commercial, ain't it?
Right.
I forgot about that commercial.
Mike.
What day is it, Mike? Guess what day it is. Hump day.
I'll tell you some all-time great commercials are all the This Is Sports Center, The Office stuff.
Yeah. Like
you've got LaDainian Tomlinson in the mail room organizing mail, getting everybody's shit wrong. That's hilarious to me, man. Adrian Peterson, I don't remember who he's talking to, but he's like, yeah, you know, we got nicknames around the office. They call me all day. Call me AD just like you. It's hilarious, man. They call him Bedwetter. If you guys haven't checked those out, go on YouTube. This is SportsCenter. They're hilarious. But welcome back to the show. We have got a lot to discuss. It has been a pretty busy day for the Bucks, really not doing much of anything.
Anything.
The Bucks didn't do anything, but there sure was a lot to talk about. If you guys are on the YouTube channel, you probably saw our video this morning. So Stephon Gilmore, the Patriots cornerback, 2019 Defensive Player of the Year, just an absolute stud at corner, was going to be released today by 4 p.m. The Patriots announced that they couldn't really find a trade for him. He's unhappy with his contract, so they announced that they're going to release him. Immediately, plenty of teams are interested, right? Who's not interested in a guy like Stephon Gilmore? But up at the top of that list, Bucks fans would put the Bucks at the top of the list, but like the Packers were up there as a team that had interest. There were definitely a lot of other ones out there. The Panthers are the team that gets it done. They end up trading a 2023 sixth round pick?
Yep.
Yeah, to get Stephon Gilmore. I don't know what they had to do. Is there like a commitment from Carolina to maybe try and work on a long-term contract? Is that why he went there? Like, why does Stephon Gilmore end up going to Carolina? Because I'll be honest with you, like, even the Carolina Panthers fans I know have no idea why it happened, and nobody really saw it coming. But if it does say one thing about the Panthers this year, is that they're definitely going all in. But, like, why the Panthers? Did they did they have something more to promise him than some of these other teams that are ready to, you know, win more in the playoffs?
Well, as Brandon points out, Gilmore is from South Carolina, I believe. Mm-hmm. So that obviously played a big factor.
The report they also came out that he wanted to go to the Packers. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I forgot to mention that.
Yeah, Albert Breer, I don't trust him. So we'll see, whatever. But yeah, I mean, they do have the cap space. They had more cap space than either the Packers or the Bucks. The Packers and the Bucks were really the two teams like beforehand that were really mentioned. There wasn't really any other teams that were mentioned. Maybe some sprinkles of the Panthers in there, but like not a whole lot, like substantially. And you know, it's kind of a surprise, like you said, but I mean, they're able to pay his current contract now, which for the rest of the season, I think his cap hits only like $7 million. So it's not as bad, but they're also, the current plan apparently is that they're just going to ride it out until the off season and, right, and they'll talk then. So there's not going to be any contract extension right away. So that, you know, that's not a thing. Yeah. And I mean, they get good for them. I still don't think they're very good. This doesn't change my opinion on them. It really doesn't. And I saw somebody talking today. They got Gilmore, but they know they have to play Brady weeks 16 and 18, and the division's going to be on the line and possibly a first round bye. I'm like, bro, the one seed is the only one that gets the first round bye. You mean to tell me that this Panthers team is going to be vying for the one seed?
Right.
Get out of here.
I don't even think by the end of the season, this Panthers team is going to be vying for the division. I did say on the season prediction show, and I still see this, you know, holding true, I think they're going to compete with New Orleans for that second place spot. I hate to say the Bucks have it locked up because they definitely don't, but you know, with the way that their schedule looks these next few weeks and things working on down the stretch, I think Carolina could compete for second place, but I think it's a really good move for them. And this isn't a Panthers podcast. We're not going to talk about this too much longer, but I will say they don't get JC Horn back this year, but if they are able to figure
maybe eventually, it's kind of like a Carlton Davis thing.
If they make the postseason, sure. Maybe you see him show back up.
I don't know. You can see that. I saw somebody float out the idea that they could just trade CJ Henderson now.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Oh yeah. I totally freaking forgot that they got CJ Henderson. So I mean, once you get JC Horn healthy, if you're able to maintain that secondary, that is a nasty secondary, but we're actually here today to talk about
already to an all-time great defense.
Some people say some people say they are historically great. That's social media for you, man. So let's talk about the Buccaneers secondary. We're talking about Stephon Gilmore because, as we mentioned, he was the talk of the town this morning. You couldn't go on social media without Bucs fans saying, "Hey, we need to bring this guy in." Because obviously the Buccaneers still dealing with some injuries. We got an update from Bruce Arians today on guys like SMB and Carlton Davis, and he said it really doesn't look that great for him. I expected maybe a little bit more of a positive quote from Bruce, something a little more shrouded in, you know, mystery, I guess, something that wasn't so, you know, yeah, it looks bad, but that's what we got. It doesn't seem like those guys are going to be ready to go anytime soon. Not sure what that means, but obviously not the best news. Jamel Dean, though, was at practice today in a limited capacity, but he was at practice last week, didn't end up playing, so we'll see how the rest of his week shakes out, but it definitely will be good to have number 35 back out there. Even though he has not had a great year, he's still probably the best outside corner they have at this point. But what are your thoughts with this secondary? Like, a lot of people feel like the Bucs missed out by not getting Gilmore. I don't really feel that way. You know, this team already won a Super Bowl without Gilmore. If these guys were healthy, it would be a different conversation. And then once they're healthy, if you sign Gilmore and then everybody's healthy and ready to come back, then you've got Richard Sherman and Stephon Gilmore, who you kind of have to make room for when you have your draft picks who are healthy, ready to go. It just seemed like it would be more of a headache down the stretch. I know that it's, you know, all in. Our window to win is not that big, and the Bucs are going to do whatever they can to try and secure another Super Bowl title. But what are your thoughts? Did the Bucs really miss out here? Or no, like, we're okay, right?
I don't think the Bucs missed out, but it would have been nice.
Like, it definitely would have been nice, but think of all the other luxuries that we have on this team.
Right. I mean, they're not going to get everybody, right? They didn't. The two most recent ones were, obviously, they got Richard Sherman, but, like, the two most recent ones were J.J. Watt and Stephon Gilmore. Those were the two that, like, oh, a veteran who's, like, you know, could potentially ring chase maybe and, right, you know, would want to come to Tampa and fill a need. Like, yeah, like, J.J. Watt would have been, that would have been something. And, like, well, obviously, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and at this rate, too, any, you know, veteran popular name that hits the market,
they're going to look to Tampa.
The first team that everybody mentions is Tampa because, you know, they've already proven that they're willing to do it in 2020, bringing in veterans and just guys who are ready to win a championship. So I understand it, but like you said, they're not going to get everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, I understand Bruce Arians' comments. I'm not going to overreact too much to his comments because what does anytime soon mean? Like, what does that mean to him? Right? Does that mean 3 weeks? Does it mean 6 weeks? Like, you know, like, what does that mean to him? And we don't know what that means to him. So I still am on record saying that I think Carlton Davis is going to return week 10, right after the bye week. I think Sean Murphy Bunting could return a tad bit before then. But I still think Carlton Davis will return then. I mean, I don't know. Is week 10 really? It's not that far away. We keep promoting the watch party saying it's 5 weeks away. Like, is that not anytime soon? Like, I think that's soon. So, like, it all depends on, you know, obviously we won't get in Arian's mind, but, like, you know, what is anytime soon? What does Arian's define anytime soon as? So, real quick, I wanted to bring up the chat here a little bit. David Cardona says, how's our Wednesday night been? It's been good, man. Rhett's been ton of busy, and I've actually been busy covering this Gilmore stuff, even though he didn't even sign with the Bucks. Shout out to Rhett, the beard, Matthew, and Evan, the man. Wanish, appreciate it, Willie.
That our guy, Willie Beeman.
Yeah,
yes, then, sir. The moderator holding it down.
David Cardona has a question for my alter ego, Coach Wanish. What are your thoughts on the Bucs secondary heading into the game versus Miami? Do you believe we will get the pass rush we need as well as against the weak O-line? Yeah, you know, we had a great week of practice, and I think we just got to go out there and execute our game plan. I have faith in the guys, but we're going up against a tough opponent. This opponent that's going to be wanting to win, and they're a gritty football team. They're a good football team, and we got to go out there, play a full 60 minutes, and get the job done.
So, you know what? I think what Coach Flores has been doing down there in Miami needs to be talked about a little more. He's put together one hell of a football team. Yeah. while we further discussion on the Buccaneers secondary, let's get to our first mailbag question of the night. This comes from Drew Thomas. And I really want to get your thoughts on this because I've seen a few people in the chat already mention it, but it's kind of an interesting thing here. Do you think Bill Belichick was a factor in the Buccaneers not signing Stephon Gilmore? You know, BA is pretty transparent when he's not lying to your face, but he said the Bucs kicked the tires on everybody. We knew the Bucs were interested. They were one of the teams that reached out. I don't even think you have to doubt that, you know, Tom Brady picked up the phone and called up his boy Gilmore. But do you think Bill Belichick purposely tried to make it to where, you know, it was just as inconvenient as possible for the Buccaneers to land Gilmore? Because a lot of people think that that might be the case.
Oh, what's your opinion first? Because I think we're going to have differing opinions on this.
You know, when I first heard about it, I was like, I don't know if it's that deep. But at the same time, you start to realize that a lot of NFL teams have this mentality of, like, they're going to make sure they do what they can to not help the Bucs because they're already loaded, right? Like, the Bucs.
Well, and yeah, and they're the defending champs. You want
right.
to take down
nobody's
the defending
just gonna, like, nobody's just going to willingly give these guys players. So, like, I thought about it and I thought about it again. I'm kind of just, like, in the middle. Like, I don't really have a strong opinion one way or the other. You know what I mean? But I'm curious to hear your take on it.
Yeah, So I don't think Belichick is sitting there and like, oh, anywhere but Tampa.
Right. Plotting against Tom Brady.
I would be lying to you if I didn't think like in my head that like Belichick's sitting there and he's like, would prefer not to send him to Tampa. Like That would be a preference, right? And he's like, if I trade him, that means there's no chance he goes to Tampa. Like, I don't think it was like a mandate, like, oh, he must not go to Tampa. He cannot go to Tampa. We will lose the trade or whatever. Like, he can't go there. Like, I don't think it was like that, but I think it's like, he's like, man, if I had like a preference, or, and maybe he wouldn't even admit this, like, to like his own staff. Maybe it's just like in his head. He's like, if I had a preference, probably wouldn't end up in Tampa. Right. He's probably like, they got their Super Bowl. They beat us last week. Like, if I had the preference, probably doesn't end up in Tampa. So I'm not saying like it's like so like, you know, no Tampa, right? Anything you do can't be Tampa. Like, I don't think it's like that, but I do think there was a little bit of like, no, I'm not gonna do that. Like, I'd prefer not to do that.
Yeah.
If I have to, I have to. If we don't get a trade we'd like, if we don't get any trade offers and he goes as a free agent at 4 p.m. and then he signs there, whatever. But like, I'd prefer he don't. So, and also some people were asking, just wanted to clear this up, why Stephon Gilmore was traded. Because he was released, right?
Yeah, you heard the news. Like, they couldn't work out a contract, and he didn't mm-hmm. want to play for another team on the contract he was already on, so it was decided he was released, and that was it. And all of a sudden Carolina swoops in with a sixth round pick, and that's enough to snag him.
Yeah, so it's, but here's the reason. So once you're released, you were not just like off the team immediately. Mm-hmm. It has to be until 4 p.m. Once 4 p.m. hits, then the transactions for the day are posted in the NFL transaction wire. Then that would have shown up that the Patriots released Stephon Gilmore. So technically, Stephon Gilmore has never been released by the Patriots. He was traded. He was not released. Yeah. Because the Bucs could do that tomorrow. They could release whoever, you know, they could release Cameron Brait tomorrow at 9 a.m.
Right.
And, you know, and then by the end of the day, before 4 p.m., they can trade him for something. Obviously, they're not going to do that. I'm trying to use an example. And I couldn't use a very high-profile player because then people would just freak out. So, you know, that's the thing. So while a player is released, he's not actually a free agent until 4 p.m. that day. Now, in Jalen Smith's case, Jalen Smith, I believe – I think it's the same deal since he was cut last night. I think it's just 4 p.m. today. I think it has to show up on the transaction thing. So on the NFL's transaction wire today, instead of it saying Stephon Gilmore released by the Patriots, it says Stephon Gilmore traded from the Patriots to the Panthers. So that is why that happens with every player. That happens, especially with veteran players, with younger players, it's waivers. With veteran players, it's something like that. So that's why he was traded and not signed, because I saw there was some confusion about that.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate the breakdown, Coach. Let's go ahead and
No problem. We appreciate Cam. Appreciate what he's done, and want to thank him for his efforts. He's a hard-nosed football player. He's a valuable piece of the team, but we decided to move on a different direction. We're excited for that direction.
Oh my God, man. Willie Beeman, our moderator in the chat, says the matchup with Carolina just got a lot more interesting. They definitely have the DBs, and we have the wideouts, and I like that, man. There's gonna be plenty of great matchups.
Well,
like,
the Bucs aren't the Texans or the Jets, so tell me when you beat an actual team.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to watch. It'll be the end of the season. Bucs will hopefully be playing their best football headed into the playoffs.
It's going to be a game for the one seed, apparently. So.
Yeah, I guess it is.
apparently.
So one more discussion on the cornerback room I wanted to talk about. We got our next question. This comes from amangoes2 on Instagram, and put simply, do the Bucs have a plan at cornerback? Because Richard Sherman was, you know, definitely a plan, but we said when the Bucs signed him, he didn't come here to be your cornerback one, and that's kind of what he is now since everybody's hurt. So do the Bucs have a plan? They have a little bit of cap space. Stephon Gilmore was such a hot topic because if he were to get picked up, I believe on the contract he was on, or if they got a new contract, I don't know, whatever the case was, the Bucs were able to make that move work with like $3.5 million of cap space. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, so it was the reported $15 million number that Gilmore was going to seek on the open market. You could have prorated that $15 million with voidable years and stuff and get it down to about three, which the Bucks would have been able to make work. So that was the $15 million number. That wasn't confirmed by anybody that he was looking for that. That was just the rumor that, you know, he was looking for $15 million. And it was, if it was $15 million, that's what you would have had to do, and you could get the cap hit down to that.
Right. Green Bay was another team who was looking for secondary help. We talked about how they were a hot topic in the Stephon Gilmore conversation. They didn't get Gilmore, so they ended up signing a practice squad corner from somewhere else. So are there any guys out there like that for the Bucks that may or may not be on their radar? Is this a move that they need to make with the money they have left? Like, what are your thoughts on their plan at corner? Is there one?
Well, I think the plan right now is just stick with what you got, right? And right. I think a lot of it does depend on Carlton Davis and Sean Murphy Bunting. It seems like I think Jamel Dean, if he's not back Sunday, he's going to be back for week six, I think. Mm-hmm. He's very close to returning. But if those other two guys are out, you know, I mean, if they're out 7-8 weeks, I mean, I think you got to bring in somebody else. And just when everybody gets healthy, you deal with it then. But like 7-8 weeks, you're talking seven, eight football games. Like, that's a lot, man. Yeah. Like, you can't be going without those guys for too long, especially if, you know, Pierre Desir or Richard Sherman, if they struggle. Jamel Dean has had his struggles this year, right? What if, you know, it's all fine and dandy, Jamel Dean's coming back. What if it's the same old Jamel Dean and it's a Richard Sherman that's still not experienced in the system? And, you know, it just doesn't really change much. So as far as plan, do you mean like signing guys or trading for guys?
Yeah,
or
it's probably signing somebody.
Yeah.
Not so much trading. I mean, what do you have to trade that you don't need?
Well, I mean, Stephon Gilmore just got traded for a 6-round pick. So, next year, not even this coming draft.
I thought it was a 23.
It is. It's next year.
Oh,
that's what
I
said.
I guess that is technically next year. That's weird, man.
We're getting old. It's 2023 is 2022 Future. Draft 2023. Yeah, it's crazy.
Future is not old, man.
The future's as I unplug your life support and plug in my PS4. God. Did you ever see that meme? That's hysterical. I'm sorry. If you don't laugh at that, then your sense of humor is just, that's on you. All right. Signing guys, I mean, Princeton Mukamara is out there. I don't think they're going to go with that. And a name that is interesting is Herb Miller. He's on the Browns practice squad now. Obviously, he's familiar with the team. He would have to be signed to the active roster. But, like, that's not a needle mover, right?
Right.
So, and I've already seen it in the chat. It's kind of got a little bit spoiled. But if you've listened to the show for a little bit, I believe I brought this up on here. I brought up this player, and I've also brought up this player on James's channel because we were just talking about that yesterday, actually. But I think the video posted today or last night. Patrick Peterson from the Minnesota Vikings. That's the name I keep looking at. And as the trade deadline gets closer, if the secondary continues to struggle, that's the name I'm looking at. And I'm like,
Yeah, because
that might be the dude.
Minnesota's not in great shape right now.
No, they're not. By the deadline, they're not going to be anything. Patrick Peterson's familiar with the system. He's familiar with Todd Bowles. He's familiar with Bruce Arians. Obviously, things change, so like, there's going to be an adjustment period for him. But he's on a one-year contract. He's a free agent after this year, so it's a rental.
Yeah.
By the time it's week eight, you know, half the season, or, you know, not half now, but there's 17 games. That's going to screw
me. Yeah, isn't that so weird?
So, you know, his salary is not going to be as big. He won't be on the hook for as much of it, so it'll be easier. Wow, David Cardona.
Man. Yeah, I read that same time you did. I'm very shocked.
Okay, can we not?
He did mention another name on that list that I wanted to get your thoughts on. Somebody else brought him. I think it was Brandon brought it up in the chat earlier tonight, too. Darius Slay from Philly. If Philly doesn't pan out, is that another one of those guys that maybe?
I just don't think the contract matches up. Mm-hmm. I don't really think the contract matches up well. I believe Slay has 2 years left on his deal. Maybe, I think, 2 years after this one. Mm-hmm. So, again, he's not cheap. He's not necessarily, like, top corner, but I think it's, like, 15 a year.
He's definitely not going to be rental price.
Yeah, and also, yeah, like I think the Eagles want to keep him. Like, I think, you know, the Eagles, like, genuinely want to keep him. So, Malcolm Butler announced his retirement. So he is not an option.
Oh yeah. I remember that, dude. He was, he was in Tennessee
when he
retired, I think.
And then, I think he was in Arizona.
Oh yeah. I think you are right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So Darius Slay's contract. Wow. This is weird. So he's a, he's a 2024 UFA. So he has 2 years left after this season.
Gotcha.
So, oh God, James is here.
Hello, James, Mr. Bucks Nation in the live chat.
So he is 2 years left after this one. So I don't think, I really don't think that's likely. And like I said, I don't think Philly really wants to get rid of him, even if they do struggle. Yeah. Willie asked the thing, does Peterson still have the speed to play corner, or is he playing safety for Minnesota? Don't know. I don't really watch a lot of Vikings, admittedly, but I will say Richard Sherman isn't a burner by any means, and he's playing corner. So TV12 Goatman brings up an interesting one.
Yeah, this was the last guy I wanted to talk about. I've heard this name floating around too.
Yeah, Joe Hayden. That is an interesting one. I know Joe Hayden is a free agent, I believe, at the end of the season. So it'd be another type rental type. But I don't know, man. He seems kind of cooked to me.
Working through an injury right now. I'm pretty sure we've been watching all the Steelers games this year, and I know he has missed at least one game due to injury this year.
Yeah. Brady, a big Steelers fan. I mean, Rhett's a closet Steelers fan.
Basically. What the hell are you talking about? It's funny. I live with a closet Bucks fan who masquerades herself as a Steelers fan. Like, we were watching the Steelers game because I think it was 4 and the Bucks played at primetime that night because, of course, the Bucks play on must-see TV. And she like grabbed her terrible towel, didn't know where it was.
Oh man.
And it's just so funny because, like, you know, Steelers lose, so she changes into her Bucks stuff. She actually changed into her my Tom Brady shirt to leave to go to her mom's while the Bucks game was on after watching the Steelers game. So if you want to throw accusations around, you're talking to the wrong person, buddy.
Okay, pal.
Yeah. All right. Listen here, friend.
You're not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy. Right. And David Cardona said maybe Vontae Davis can unretire for us at halftime against Miami and come in. Yeah, sure.
I like that one, man.
I'm sorry if you're a Pitt fan. Big Ben looks cooked. Big Ben has been cooked for about 3 years.
Yeah.
So. Finally starting to admit it now.
I will say that, you know, for a Pittsburgh fan, she's also a huge Tom Brady fan, but she hates Ben Roethlisberger. I'm not the biggest Roethlisberger fan. After that training camp we went to in 2019, it was the preseason the Bucks played in Pittsburgh. So, yeah, 2019. We went to that training camp. He didn't do shit, dude. He sat on his helmet the whole day, you know, half-assed his way through drills when he had to do them. Like, I don't want a Ben Roethlisberger on my team, but she cannot stand that guy, and I think it's hilarious. Both her and her mom just hate Big Ben.
And then one more we'll take is Xavier Rhodes from Indy. Because, I mean, if we sat here all night, we could think of all these names.
But, oh, yeah, like, there's a corner on at least every team that could be a Buck.
Xavier Rhodes from Indy. Yeah, sure. Like, I don't think it's likely that they're going to trade for one. It's just if they would, the name I would look at is Patrick Peterson. That's the name I would just keep an eye on.
It's kind of a name that keeps popping back up for Bucks fans.
Well, because it's familiar.
Right. Like every 6 months, it seems like we get closer to Bucks may have interest in Patrick Peterson. You know, he's got that relationship with Bruce Arians.
It's going to be like the same thing with Tyrann Mathieu, too.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
It's just never going to go away.
He just shows up every offseason. There's at least a week where everybody's really high on this particular player, and Pat Pete's one of those guys. Let's get to our next question here. We wrap up our discussion about the secondary. This comes from Emily Compa, who I believe is the only person who has sent us a take and or question every single week, and it is greatly appreciated. If you guys want to add yourself to that list, it would also be greatly appreciated. You can get in contact with the show, cannonfirepodcast@gmail.com. We also throw up special question boxes on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter @cannonfirepodcast. Make sure you go check us out for the midweek mailbag every single week. So Emily Compa with a loaded question here. And I think we had a rant about this particular topic at some point earlier in the season. I can't pinpoint when exactly it was, but it was at some point that we kind of went off the deep end about this stuff, and it's back. And I think it's a good time for this to be back, because with the Stephon Gilmore discussions, you get some pretty radical takes. Okay, I'll just leave it at that. But let's go ahead and dive into this email. So the subject line is spoiled rotten. Emily Compa writes, "We as fans of the Bucks that have been through the Winston years know that a heartbreaking season is, you know, it is what it is. And now that we have been graced with the messiah of the pigskin in Tom Brady, we have been given an open door to succeed. I know we're not entirely playing up to the standards that the names on this team carry, but honestly, we should be happy to be 3-1 at this point. Your thoughts on how we look so far as a team, and are the fans expecting too much? Thanks as always, Emily Compa." Evan, I'll let you take this one first. I got a lot to say regarding this.
It's tough for me because, like, they're 3-1.
Oh, no, it's not. We've had this. You and I have had this discussion before.
Yeah, like, they're 3-1, and win that, you know, at the end of the day, that's what matters the most, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that is what matters the most. How many wins do you have?
Yeah. First in the division currently, too.
Yeah, like, how many wins do you have? That's obviously what matters the most. You could be playing a great brand of football. If you win 6 games in a year, nobody's going to care, right? So it's been weird because, like we said, they haven't put together a full 60 minutes yet. And I know it's difficult to do that. Like, I get it, right? Mm-hmm. Last year, they only did that a handful of times. Like, they, you know, I'm talking about in the regular season. I'm not talking about the playoffs. The playoffs are a whole different animal, right? I don't even consider that. I'm just talking about the regular season. I mean, what? The Green Bay game? The Detroit game? Other than that, was there a game? Like, I don't know if I can think of a game that was like a complete performance other than those two.
Well, you know.
This is the Super Bowl.
I said not playoffs.
Oh, you said not playoffs. Okay, thank you. I guess I missed that part.
Yeah, you can't.
I'll be honest. The regular season. You know, even though the Bucks are the Bucks, for any team in the NFL, I feel like you're only going to get so many perfect games a year.
Because you're playing against other professionals. So
right. Like, you're playing against other teams who are going to go out there and want just as badly as you do to play their best game of the year.
Yeah, exactly.
But go ahead.
So, real quick, like I said, they're 3-1. That's the most important thing. However, they're not playing their best brand of football. Like, they're not. So we'll see if they can do it. We'll see if they can eventually turn this around, because yes, like, it's good enough to beat the bad teams. It's good enough to beat the average teams because they have so much talent. We saw that it's not good enough to beat the good teams. They went in LA and they got beat. They got beat by 10 plus points. They got beat by 2 scores. So it's not good enough right now, and it's going to be better. So we'll see, but I understand the frustrations, and I also get the expectations. Like, absolutely, you should have those expectations. I mean, this team won a Super Bowl. They brought back all 22 starters. This is the second year in the offense for Tom Brady, second year in the offense for Leonard Fournette, Rob Gronkowski. Like, these guys should be hitting on all cylinders. The penalties were you know, really solved last year. They shouldn't, you know, they shouldn't really you know,
they shouldn't be an issue really headed into week 5. Yeah. That's for damn sure.
Not now. And then, so like, yeah, it's not perfect. G Vegas real quick says, "You're never going to get a complete game. Offense rarely do well, which they never punt, and defense can never force 3-and-out all the time." Well, that's, yeah. When I say complete game, I don't necessarily mean that. Like, that's complete domination. I mean, like, a complete game to where it's like a 34-14 win. Right. The Bucks punt 2 or 3 times. The defense allows a little bit, but like, that's what I'm talking about.
No turnovers.
Game. Yeah. I'm not talking about a game where it's like 56-3. Like, I'm not talking about something like that, but I'm like, there's obviously going to be ebbs and flows in a football game, but I'm talking about just a complete game to play well on both sides of the ball, not play perfect, but play well on both sides of the ball for 60 minutes. And they haven't done that right now.
Yeah. In my opinion, something like that is, you know, like you said, there's ebbs and flows in every single football game. So something that goes into that is just responding when you have to. Like, if it's a drive where you have to score, get the points, get the touchdown, do what you got to do. If you need a turnover from your defense and they go out there and get that done, that's awesome. All of that factors into just, you know, because football you have to respond sometimes. It's not all about just decimating your opponent, because these are other professional sports teams, and they're going to one-up you every now and again. But the topic I really wanted to take away from this was the fan base getting a little too spoiled. I mean, a Super Bowl will do that, sure.
Winning eight games, winning 10 games in a row will do that. 10
games in a row and setting a franchise record. I don't think the Bucks lost for like 280-something days, right? That's awesome. But it seems like, you know, having high expectations is one thing, but maybe it's just me, but like, are people a little bit more offended by critical breakdowns of this football team? Like, we've had a lot of people tell us that they don't listen to our podcast anymore because we are, quote, too negative. And I mean, that's okay. I don't care. You know, we're not everybody's cup of tea. But if you listen to our podcast and you have for an extended period of time, you know that we are nothing but fair when it comes to our criticism of this team. Because at the end of the day, you and I, Evan, we are both fans. But I feel like a lot of this fan base is like, it's hard for people to temper their expectations. And when you are not a cheerleader 24/7 for this football team, some people get really upset. And I'm not really sure why, because yes, the Bucks won a Super Bowl, but just as the Rams showed us, Tampa Bay is not untouchable, right? The NFL is still competitive. And that's just where we are now, headed into week 5. But it's like, is this fan base a little spoiled at the moment?
Yeah, so when I did this, right? This is having the blinders on.
Right.
Right? You're focusing on one thing. And I think a lot of fans have done that. I'm not here to bash any, you know, any fans, you know, specifically, but like, you know, there has been people that, like, even in our live chats, you know, saying, "Oh, you guys are so negative." And, "Oh, do you remember they won this game today?" Sure, we talk about the good stuff, but it wasn't all sunshine and rainbows. Like, it wasn't, and if it is, we will say it is.
There has been, honestly, it's been more sunshine and rainbows this last season and a half than in the history of the podcast.
Yeah, and we have really done big numbers over the past year. People would have hated this show in 2019. Right. Oh,
like,
my
when
God.
When we had nothing to talk about but inconsistent quarterback play and team that beat themselves week in and week out. I mean, our first three seasons.
Kicking problems.
Oh my God. Our first three seasons on this show, the Bucks went 5-11. They went 6-10 2 years in a row, or 5-11.
It was 5-11, 5-11, 7-9.
Yeah. And then whatever Dirk's last year was.
Well, no, I mean, 5-11, 5-11, 5-11 was Dirk's last year.
Yeah. No, you're going
7-9 was Bruce's first year. And then.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I mean, we've come a long way, and I think a lot of the, you know, the true Buccaneer OGs understand that. A lot of the people who have listened to the great podcast that are no longer around that talked about nothing but losing, but found a way to make it the most entertaining hour and a half of my entire week. Like, I think that's what we try and model our show after, but that's a great question.
But now it's good because we're able to talk about winning.
Like, exactly.
You know,
like, exactly, man. What a time to be
guys,
alive.
If you thought this show was negative now, oh my goodness, you would have not listened to it. You would have not enjoyed it.
Oh man, you would have not enjoyed it. We truly appreciate each and every one of you who have checked out the podcast, whether you like it or not.
Like, after the Bucks blew the doors off of Detroit, like, we didn't come on here and say, "Oh, well, this didn't look good. This didn't look good." No, we came here and said they kicked their butts. Like, we're not going to sit here and find a negative of everything. But, like, does anybody actually think the Bucks have played a complete game? Does anybody think that this offense could be doing better? The answer should be yes. Like, this offense should be doing better. Like, you know,
the answer to that first question that you posed is no.
The answer for those first one's no.
Right. Yeah.
Second one's yes. you know, does the defense have to be better? Yes. Does the front seven have to be better? Yes. Is Devin White having a bad season? Yes. Is there still time to improve things? Yes.
Oh, there's plenty of football.
Are they still a good football team? Yes.
Are they
all
still
those things? I feel like people's issue is, if you say one negative thing, then that means nothing else can be positive. Like,
that means they're the worst in the league.
Yeah, it can be true that the defense is struggling and the offense isn't necessarily being as consistent as it should be. But it can also be true that they're a good football team and they're a top five team in the league. Like,
yeah,
both of those things can be true. And people really don't seem to understand that. Offense has struggled three straight games, in my opinion. I mean, did you think they struggled against the Falcons? I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know about struggle. And I mean, I actually, we talked on this show. See, we were positive on this show about the offense 2 weeks ago versus LA. We thought the offense was spectacular.
That was one of the, I think we had Stank from the Loose Cannons on for that one after the Falcons game. And we got our fair share of criticism because we talked about how this team left points on the field. And
they let them, it was 28-25.
It was.
They left the Falcons back. It was 28-10. And then you blink and it's 28-25.
Yeah.
Then Brian Shaw, even the Falcons game, there were stretches in the game the offense stalled and did not look good at all. Sure, but like we talked about, the ebbs and flows of a football game. The offense is not going to go out there and score a touchdown on every single drive. That's obviously the goal, but it's not going to happen. So, like, I think they're fine. We'll see what happens the rest of the year. But like, we get it. Like, we get the expectations, right? We get it. But at the same time, like, bad things are going to happen to this team, right? Like, bad things are going to happen. And, you know, like, it's going to happen, but also tons of good things. And most likely, more positive things are going to happen than bad things. Brian Shaw says the Falcons are not a good defense. I never said they were. Did you see the Bucs move the ball on them? The Bucs moved the ball on them with a relative ease. They struggled, what, four drives? And they Tom Brady threw five touchdowns. Like,
he did.
What is the point?
He did. Well, folks, at the end of all of this, just remember that we love you guys, right? We're glad that you're here. We appreciate you supporting the show. If you have ever listened to the show, whether you like it or do not, we truly appreciate your time and your patronage. Let's go ahead and get to our last mailbag question. God, we're navigating this thing together, aren't we? All right, here we go. Our last mailbag question. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I save this one for last because I think it might be the worst mailbag question of all time. I don't know how this is going to be topped. And it's a shame because I really like Michael, the guy that sent it in. Mikey Kelly on Instagram is who sent it in. Really great friend of the show. I believe he was at James Watch Party too. But really cool guy. But he sends us the worst question of all time. I don't even know if I want to ask it, but here we go. Here we go. Would you guys rather have Kellen Winslow now or Chris Baker now? If you had to pick one of those two guys.
That means when they're playing in their playing days, not like now when they're not playing, but like.
No, right. Yeah.
In their playing days.
He means if the Bucks were to sign someone tomorrow, would you rather it be
the 2010 version of Kellen Winslow?
A tight end with an incredibly troubled recent history, and I'll leave it at that. And Chris Baker, one of the laziest players in franchise history, probably one of my least favorite Buccaneers in franchise history. So pick your poison, folks. I think the theory that I had with this question is that it's like it's a morality question, right? I feel like it's going to be more of a tell on who you pick, because I feel like he's I don't know. He's trying to get us here, but
yeah, we're not here to judge anybody. So
I mean, listen, man, I'm going to take the high road here. And even though he is my least favorite person in Bucks history, I'm going to go with Chris Baker because I can see the need for maybe an extra fat guy to clog up the defensive line whenever somebody else doesn't want to play. I can't bring myself to talk about the other guy. You know what I mean? So I'll go Chris Baker by default.
Yeah, I'll go Chris Baker. I'm not getting into why or anything like that. He actually didn't specify junior or senior. So if it's senior, I'll take that.
Yeah, I'll take senior all day. He's a Hall of Famer, man.
Yeah, I'll take that. No
I just
problem,
don't. I don't remember his time with the Bucks. That's all.
Well, he didn't have it. Yeah, that's,
yeah.
Nobody's gonna remember that. But hey, you know, you barely remember Chris Baker's time with the Bucks. So
yeah, I just remember him humping palm trees and eating hot dogs in the middle of the game.
The funny thing was is that like. I know that when we watched Hard Knocks, we all thought that was hysterical.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're lying if, like, you didn't, oh, they're swaggy. He's humping a palm tree. And then all of a sudden, it's, oh, he's eating a hot dog at halftime.
He's laughing after jumping off sides and losing us the game against Carolina. Oh, this isn't funny anymore.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Wasn't it Gerald McCoy who ripped into him? And, like, I don't think Gerald McCoy ever had a history of ripping into guys.
Something like that. Yeah, I forget. I try to forget about that season.
Yeah,
there was such high expectations for that 2017 team.
Guess
like,
what?
We thought that team was going to the playoffs.
All right. Guess what? Like, that was I think that was our debut season.
It was
for the podcast. So when you talk about humble beginnings, what a sad start.
Correct. It's a shame that we're so negative. It really is.
Yeah.
Just...
Right. Well, you know, I guess since Michael.
You know, we're like, after the Super Bowl, we were like, yeah, it's great and all, but why'd they allow 9 points?
Yeah, sure. So yeah,
they allowed 9 points. What's that?
Evan, sometimes your sarcasm is like hard to pick up.
I know. People take, yeah, trust me. That's why Twitter isn't the best place for me. And also texting isn't the best place for me because like I'll send something.
And it's and I'll incredibly be like, mean.
Yeah. And I'll be like, I'm not being 100% serious. I'm being like, 30% serious. Like, it's not.
Oh, man. Well, that's the end of the midweek mailbag, ladies and gentlemen. Michael's question able to bring things to a screeching halt for us. Yeah.
Please, if you have any questions like that again, keep them to yourself this time. Don't send it. Don't send it to canofirepodcast@gmail.com. Just keep it to yourself.
Oh, man. Thank you to every single person who submitted a question this week. Thank you to our YouTube live audience for hanging out with us. If you have not already, make sure you subscribe to the channel. Plenty of great Buccaneers content between now and the end of the season. I mean, during the offseason, we got stuff planned too, right? That's how proactive we are about this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and also, like, come on now, right? It is. Yeah. We are zooming towards November 14th, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
we are zooming.
We are less than 5 weeks away from the first ever Cannon Fire Watch Party. It's going to be with our friends at Berry House Beer Company right outside of beautiful Ybor City. Like you said, November 14th is the date. Bucks are going to be playing the Washington football team. Should be a great matchup. We're going to be out there with a bunch of great guests. Mr. Bucks Nation, James Hill in the live chat will be there. Hopefully some of our people.
Somebody's going through a table.
Yeah, somebody's going through a table.
Somebody. So, somebody. I don't know who. But it's not going to, it might not be one of us three. Somebody's going.
Yeah, it could be.
It could be anybody. If you show up,
it could be, it could be Joe from Wingbox putting somebody through the table. Like you don't know.
If you show, yeah. And also, yeah, it's not like we're going to put you through the table. We don't know who's going to get put through the table. We also don't know who's going to be putting the person through the table.
If you show up,
there is a chance you're going to go through a table.
The more people show up, the more that chance goes down.
Yeah, so tell your friends that the watch party is there, so you don't have to go through a table. Tell all your friends we got to pack this place, so you don't have to go through a table. If there's only like 5 people there, there's 3 of us, there's 2 of you. One of us is going through it, so that's an easy choice then.
Oh man! Shout out again to our guys at Wingbox. They're going to be hooking up the food. The best food truck in Tampa Bay. I kid you not. If you are a chicken wing connoisseur, this place
is. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, this is the king of the wing champion.
Yes, this is your 2020 king of the wing letting you know. If anybody can put down some wings, it is this guy right here. So I'm telling you that these are going to change your life. But make sure you're out there. It's going to be a great time. All the information is on our social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Cannon Fire Podcast. Make sure you follow myself on social media. Instagram and Twitter at Redicus, RHETTAKUS. You can also follow my co-host on Instagram at Bucks_daily, the number one Buccaneers fan page on Instagram, rapidly approaching 30,000 followers. You can also find him on Twitter at EvanNFL. We are going to be live a little bit later this week. I believe early Friday morning is a time slot that we particularly like.
Wake up, make your coffee, and hang out with CFP.
It's our game preview show. We're going to be breaking down this weekend's matchup between the Miami Dolphins and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are going to be back at home. It should be a great game. We're going to break it all down for you early Friday morning. So make sure you're there. YouTube.com/Cannon Fire Podcast. But that's the show. Thank you once again, ladies and gentlemen, for checking out this week's edition of the Cannon Fire Podcast Mailbag, brought to you by our good friends over at betonline.ag. I am your host, Rhett Matthews, signing off from my co-host, Evan Wanish. We'll talk to you guys Friday morning right here on YouTube. Until then, and as always, we'll talk to you later, and go Bucks.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.